I want to use one of the claims of Christ in the message tonight. You know, of course, that He made many great claims. Some of my favorite claims of Christ are the great I Am claims. And then there are the I Have claims. John 17 is full of those. The I Must claims. And many others. I think over the years I've probably preached 11 or 12 different claims of Christ. Tonight I want to use the great I Came claims of Christ. Every time we come to this season of the year, we're confronted with the fact that He came. And the Lord Jesus professed not to be of this world. He said, I came. I'm going to look at three different texts tonight. We'll begin here in John 6. And I hope that I can take you beyond just an idea. Our 3-year-old grandson apparently has been watching too much TV. He came running in the house the other day, like, you know, I'm here. And just out of nowhere, he came and he took a little stance and he said, ta-da! Like, I'm here now. I don't mean to project Christ in that light tonight. But He did say, and I say it reverently, I'm here. I came. Of course, that was the predictions of the Old Testament. He's coming. When Jesus arrived, He said, I am He. Why look ye for another? And since His going back to heaven, the Holy Ghost has been saying, that's Him. That's Him. But let's begin here in this great 6th chapter of John. I'm reading verse number 38, where Jesus said, for I came down. I came down from heaven. Not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Again, look at verse number 41. The Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. It's interesting that they're murmuring here about Christ. And that's what their forefathers were doing when the manna fell in the wilderness. Murmuring. Here they are murmuring about the true bread, the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, later on in the chapter, He said in verse 48 without hesitancy, I am that bread of life. I am the bread. And He added in verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And here's our emphasis again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. So I want to magnify the I Came's of Christ. And I would begin with this one in John 6. Of course, you understand the picture in this chapter is that Christ is our portion. He is our bread. He is our heavenly manna. They ate the manna in the wilderness and it was their strength, their meat. And Christ here claims to be our portion, our strength, our life. And if you don't eat of Him, you don't have any life. Now, there's much more in the chapter. And I always, when I take a text like this out of the chapter of this capacity, I feel like I should say much, much more about the chapter. But I want to just give this one projection. I would begin tonight by saying Christ makes this confession, I came descending. My arrival is not like your arrival. He said, I came descending. I came down. I stepped down in my coming. I condescended in my coming. I humble myself in my coming. I came down. I came descending. Now, this tells us several things about Christ. First of all, as we look at this portion or bread picture, we see something of the preexistence of Christ. If he came down, then he had to exist previous to his birth. He didn't come in the fashion that other children came. Oh yes, he was born in a body, a flesh, and he had an earthly mother. But oh, he had an eternal existence. He had always been. And so he didn't say, I came from my mother or from my father, as a human ordinarily would. But Jesus said, I came down. I didn't begin at Bethlehem. My life was not initiated in the womb of my mother. But he said, I always have been. And my coming into this earth is just a comma in my eternal sentence. I always have been and always will be. And so the fact that Jesus came descending speaks to us of his pre-existence. Recently I preached out of John 14. And you remember Jesus said there, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, many of you can't tell me about my Father's house, my physical, earthly Father's house, because you've never been there. But I can tell you about my Father's house because I lived there. I've been there. And Jesus could talk about his Father's house because he had lived there eternally. I came down, he says, descending. And it speaks of his pre-existence. I think there's a lesson here also about his purpose. Why has Jesus come down? Why did he descend? He said that you might have life. He said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He said, if you eat of this bread, speaking of himself, you shall live forever. Of course, you know many of the great gospel texts where Jesus said that he came to give life. Preaching almost every night of my life as I do. This is, I believe, my 305th sermon this year. And preaching almost every night as I do, I constantly quote certain verses. And there's one verse that never seems to become redundant. I'm not just talking about to myself, but to the congregations to whom I preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I tell you, the fact that he came
down. He came descending. Tells us something of his purpose. He himself said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Lord Jesus did not come to this earth on some religious safari. He did not come down here on some spring or winter adventure. He was not touring the earth. He came to save sinners. I came descending, Jesus said. That speaks of his preexistence. He existed in heaven before coming to this earth. It speaks of his purpose and his willingness to do the bidding and the purpose of his Father. This verse has been on my mind the last week. The Bible said, I am come, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. He came not to please himself. Came not to honor the flesh, but he came to seek and to save sinners in accordance to the Father's will. Now, I can't get around this. This chapter deals with manna, with the bread. And Jesus said, I'm the true bread. Your fathers had manna in the wilderness, but I am the true bread that came down from heaven. And there's several features involved in the manna that I think points us to Christ, in that he said, I came descending as your bread. It not only points us to where he's been and why he's come, but it points us to who he is. His person. He is resembling or likening himself unto the manna. Now keep in mind, the manna was very small. And the Lord Jesus has come down and took upon him the form of human flesh. Though God is vast and God is great and God is awesome, yet he became one of us, so to speak. He became flesh. He was made flesh. And was made in the likeness of men. He was small like man. I might add, the manna was white in its appearance. Jesus, in his spiritual nature, was pure and holy, righteous. His person. He not only was humble and became the small, the great God became man. But he was pure in all things. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. He is the pure, immaculate, sinless, pure Son of God. And then, of course, the manna was round. Didn't have jagged edges. But the children could eat it. And the elderly could eat it. All they had to do was put it in their mouth and it would melt. And it was sweet to the taste. It's always been interesting to me what it must have tasted like. It says that it had the taste of honey. My dear friend who's now with the Lord, Dr. John McCormick, used to say that it must have tasted like honey Grahams. Graham crackers. I read in the Bible where it was a wafer. And so I conclude that it must have tasted like a vanilla wafer. I don't know how it tasted, but I know it was sweet, and I know it was adequate. They were full, and they were sufficed when they ate of it. Oh, does not all this point us to the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Himself, who is not only white and pure and righteous, but He is palatable. The children as well as the old people can taste of the Lord and see that He is good. And He's always sweet to the taste. Yes, He is. So the first statement that we've examined tonight and its context, Jesus says here, I came descending. I came down. Now, I want us to turn to Mark chapter 2. Here's a second time Jesus used this claim, I came. I came. And as we celebrate the birth of Christ, this is certainly of significance to us. He came. He came. Notice chapter 2 of Mark's Gospel, verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw Him, Christ, eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto His disciples, how is it that He eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? If He's such a holy person, why is He eating and drinking with this bunch? And Jesus heard it. By the way, He hears everything. He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came, here it is, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus not only said, I came descending, but He said, I came delivering. I came to call sinners to repentance. I came to set free. Now, notice first of all, as we saw the other as a portion or as a bread picture, here we have a physician picture. The great physician now is here. The sympathizing Jesus. And He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who did Jesus come to deliver? First of all, I want you to notice the sinners included in His deliverance. He did not come to line up with the religious right. He did not come to line up with the religious left. He came to identify with sinners. Oh, brother. He said, I came to call the sinners to repentance. And He likened sinners unto people who are sick. Desperately sick. Sick unto death. Now, the Pharisees didn't feel like they were sick. So Jesus said, I've not come to call those who feel like they're all right. Those who are whole. Those who feel wonderful about themselves and feel like my Father is impressed with them. I've not come to call people who feel all right to the Father. I've come to call people who feel sick. We live in a society where everybody feels okay. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus came to deliver those who don't feel like they match up. They come up, they're sick. Oh, how sick. I've been preaching some out of the book of Job a time or two the last few weeks. And, you know, that was a problem with Job and his friends. His friends looked at him and said, man, you're sick. Of course, they're talking about, I'm applying it spiritually now. He cursed the day he was born, and they turned on him. You know, if you got friends like Job, who needs enemies? But at any rate, they began to tell him, you know, you're sick. You look bad. You sound bad. You must be bad. And they didn't look at him as one who was righteous. And later God rebukes them and they have to come and ask Job to pray for them. I see them sort of slipping up real quietly, you know, and clearing their throats and saying, Job, will you lead us in a word of prayer? Towards the end of the book, you remember that happened. But Job, instead of him saying, boys, you're right, I'm sick, oh, I need help, he fought back in self-defense. He defended his righteousness. He said, I'm no worse than you. He said, I've lived in the same economy, in the same sphere, in the same area that you've lived in. I'm not a bad person. I'm not sick. And on and on and on, he fought back. In fact, he got mad at them one time because they sounded so right and made him sound so wrong. He said to them, no doubt, when you three die, wisdom is going to die with you. There'll be no more wisdom after you three birds die. He just kept fighting back. He wouldn't admit he was sick. But then the day came when the Lord blew through Job's life and spoke to Job out of a whirlwind. And when God finished examining Job, Job said, Lord, I'm sick. And the Lord said, Job, that's what I've been wanting to hear you say all the time. By the way, that's the purpose of all of our trials, is to bring us face to face with how rotten we are. And Job, what happened is the doctor made a house call, visited Job, checked him out, and Job said, oh, Lord, I didn't know how bad it was. Well, now, let's take it and apply it to your life and mine. That's true in salvation. That's true in sanctification and spiritual development. It's not until we see how bad a shape we're in that we need help and cry out for help. Jesus said, I came to deliver sinners. That crowd was sick. I tell you, I'm this way. I don't like to go to the doctor. I know some people love to go because that's all they talk about. But I do not love to go. I despise it. In fact, I told my wife I'm not going back until I'm in desperate, dire need. I don't like to, you know, you go and they ask you what's bothering you. You diagnose your case. And then they ask you, well, what you been doing for it? And you say, well, I've been taking extra strength Tylenol. Well, y'all keep doing that. And then they charge me for diagnosing my case and prescribing my own medicine. Tell me to come back in 2 weeks. And then I get up at the desk and they won't send me $5. And I'm the one that took care of the whole situation. I don't see the value in that myself. But I tell you, the fact is, I don't want to go unless I'm real sick. And that's true spiritually, brother. Until we see we're really sick, we're not going to see the need of coming to Christ. He's the physician. He said, I came to deliver sinners, people who realize they're sick. By the way, if you feel so inapt tonight before him, there's some hope for you. You say, well, I just don't even feel worthy to pray. Then you're the one I want to pray. Well, I don't even feel like I ought to sing. Well, you're probably the one we ought to call on. The sick one, who knows they're sick and they need help from God. Oh, brother. Then notice not only the sinners that he came to deliver, but the summons by which he delivers. He said, I came not to call the righteous, those that feel okay, but sinners to repentance. He said, my deliverance is through a call. I came to call.
He knows that we're not going to call on Him. So He calls on us. Isn't that blessed? Praise God. That's how somebody said, well, how does the Lord, how does He heal people? He makes house calls. He calls us personally. He confronts us individually. He said, I'm come to call sinners to repentance. Thank God. Then notice the success of His delivery. He said, I came delivering. I came to call sinners to repentance. Somebody said, well, how do you know when the Lord has made you whole? You got a repenting attitude. You're so sorry. Not that you got caught or sorry that somebody told something, but you're sorry that you've been so sorry. You offended God and hurt you. You repent. That's what repenting is. Somebody says, well, repentance is turning. Yeah, but you're not going to turn until you realize you offended God. Offended God. That's the initial act of repentance. Of course, we keep on repenting, do we not? Jesus said, I came descending. I came down. Then He said, I came delivering. I came calling the sinners to repentance. I want you to see another text, and I hope this one won't mess up Christmas for you. This is pretty strong. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 34. Jesus said, I came descending. That's His first I came claim. And then He said, I came delivering. There's another I came claim. And Jesus says in this passage, I came dividing. I came dividing. Look at verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Notice here what it is that He uses to divide. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now I know that in the Christmas season we like to rehearse the angels' words. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. But Jesus said, don't you think that I came to bring peace? He said, I came to bring variance. I came to divide. Now there's not anybody here tonight that follows the Lord Jesus that doesn't wish everybody loved you. You wish everybody felt good about you. I know there's some of us that we got a little different turn about us, and we talk like we enjoy somebody being mad at us. But the fact is, we'd like for everybody to be receptive to the gospel and receptive to the things of God. But the truth is, Jesus comes with His cross and He crosses things up. He crosses things up. Yes, His cross lifts us
out of man-centeredness and puts us into God-centeredness. And his cross is the only item that can bridge the great chasm between God and men. There's no way to heaven apart from his cross. But that same cross stands as a partition.
Somebody said, well, I don't know why they don't come. We've invited them over and over and over and over. I don't know why they don't come. That cross divides. Now, if we wanted to accept the world's philosophy and say good God, good devil, and good everybody, then they might just, come and feel right at home, and we could just brag on each other and talk about how good grandpa they had, and how their children are just like little angels. But if we stay true to the Bible, we know their younguns and our younguns and their grand younguns and our grand younguns, and all of us are not angels. If we're angels, we're fallen angels.
The truth is, the Lord Jesus came to divide. There's going to be a division. In fact, he said there's going to be a division in your relationships. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be there of his own household. There's going to be a division in your relationships, he said. Now, is it not true that our whole generation is at grief because relationships have been divided and relationships have been severed?
Oh, we all mourn over it. Yeah, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus told us it was going to be. He told us it was going to be. There's going to be division in your relationships. And he said there's going to be divisions in your earthly realms and in the world you live in. And he said there's going to be division in your religion. Somebody said, I want a religion where everybody can be happy, happy, happy. Well, you can't follow the crucified Christ. He's come to set a variance. He's come to make a division. In fact, to follow Jesus is to follow a rejected Lord. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected at his birth. That's trying to kill him before he's maturing in his adolescence. And after he became an adult, he visited his old home church again. That's ready to throw him off the side of the hill at Nazareth. Rejected. In fact, Isaiah said that Jesus' best friends were sorrow and grief. He was a man of sorrows. Acquainted. The word indicates intimately, very well acquainted with grief. Now there's a gospel in our day that says, come on, now let's be happy. Come on. If we're not happy, people's not going to want to come. Be happy, happy. Come on now. Get in this thing and serve Jesus and be happy. But the truth is, there's a cross in the middle of the kingdom, and the cross crosses us. Christian life is not all hoorah and hoopla. While everybody's trying to get everybody up here, Jesus is trying to bring us to a place of self-denial. Brother, that's the Christ, the rejected Christ. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me, Jesus says. He that findeth his life shall lose it. If you're going to live for yourself, you're going to be the loser.
Yes, sir.
But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus said, I came descended. This was Bethlehem's not my beginning. I was with the Father and I came down from heaven. I came descending, and he said, I came delivering, I came summoning and calling sinners to turn from their sins and to leave their old sin sickness and come to my healthy way.
Amen, brother.
He said, I came dividing. Came dividing. So you've got a portion picture. There's your manna. You've got a position picture. And you've got a partition picture, a wall. Somebody says, every way I turn, I feel like I'm against the wall. Sounds to me like you're following a rejected Lord. He said, if you're not willing to lose your life, you're not worthy of me. I was recently in the coal mining country of Virginia. And you can get up to that area from here two or three different ways. And I used to go to Bristol and then go up to Abington and follow the road at Abington over to a little crossing called Hansonville and take a left at Hansonville and go over to Castlewood and St. Paul, and then go over to Daint. That's where I was. Daint, Virginia. It looks like Dante, but it's pronounced like ain't. Daint. Then I got to looking at it. Man, now they've got that four lane, you know, from the Tennessee line all the way to Kingsport. Why am I going all the way to Abington and back around? Why don't I just go to Kingsport? From Kingsport, go over to Gate City and then take up a little two-lane road all the way up to Nicholsville. And then go up and hit the four-lane before you get to St. Paul. And then go over to Daint. And every year I'm up there, somebody asks me, Brother Tom, which way did you come? This year I said, I came up the hard way. I came up through Nicholsville. You come up that little old road. Yeah, I came up that little old road, going back the same way. That's how I came. Jesus said, it may not look like an easy road, but he said, that's the way I came. I came down.
Amen.
I came to deliver. I came to divide. But it's the best road. It may not be an easy road, but it's the best way, folks. In fact, before he finished here, he talked about a righteous man receiving a righteous man's reward and giving a cup of cold water and not losing your reward. It's the best way to deny self. Take up your cross. Let the cross everything that's of man. And cross everything that's of this world. And cross everything that's of the flesh. And say yes to the crucified, risen Savior. What's this Christmas season all about? It's about the fact that he came. He came. Aren't you glad he did? I bless him tonight that he came. He came for you. He came for me. God help us tonight to take up our cross and follow him. Would you stand with me?